Hi, I'm Pablo and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to be finding out what we should be checking out on the couch this week. If you want some good TV movie recommendations, King of the Nerds, Adam Ross is going to join us very shortly. But first, an important chat to have in October. It is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I couldn't think of a more important and more informative guest than Graham Cohen. He's done some incredible work in the mental health space. He's a board member of Are You OK Day, and I chatted to him this week for an in-depth chat about mental health, what it means for these awareness days, and the fact that this year is all about tuning in. So Graham, tune in. What's it mean?
Yeah, I really quite like this because the first element is tuning into ourselves and just being asking ourselves, how am I feeling? Am I okay? Am I feeling any stress? Do I need to do anything, you know, about it to help address that? And so that's the first element. And the second element is if, you know, we're okay, to really tune into those around us and just be aware of changes you might observe in them if they're doing something that they don't normally do or moodier than normal. You know, just being tuned in and be ready to ask, are you okay? And have that sort of that caring conversation.
So when I was younger, I'm going to put my hand up and say, when these weeks and when these months and days sort of rolled around, I kind of always like, what is the point of this? I couldn't wrap my head around it until I was hit with some mental health struggles and had to take some time off work. And I realized one of the real main reasons behind doing this is to normalize mental health and people to not feel really isolated and alone, and the ability that they can reach out. And I guess that's a real key thing about it, is that it's okay. It's completely normal to experience this potentially at some point in your life. And the message is really, there is help out there, Graham. People can seek it, and you know, people can get some help and some tips from experts like you and others in the field.
Yeah, and as you say, Pablo, we're all touched by this in some way. Like, I've had my own mental health struggles as well. But even if we don't have it personally, you know, those around us do, whether we know it or not. And I think one of the positive things to come out of the, you know, the pandemic, particularly for, you know, states that have been harder hit than WA, is there's been greater awareness of the issue. And also, I think, a greater determination to do something about it. One of the studies that came out about a month ago was by PwC and Atlassian. And they said that employees now value the mental health of the place as the number one priority when choosing a position. And yeah. And even further to that, that 69% say they wouldn't take a promotion if it meant would be detrimental to their mental health. So this has been part of the upside of some of the volatility we've been through in the last 18 months. And it is normal to, you know, reach out and seek help. And just as you found help in doing that, I have as well, you know, seeing, you know, your general practitioner or calling a psychologist or, calling a helpline can just help to allow someone to just talk through what's happening to them. And when we share what's going on, what's troubling us, it's a bit of a relief. You know, they say that a problem shared is a problem halved, and I think that's very much the case.
So let's just drill down a little bit on blokes, because I know there'll be a lot of blokes listening, and I'm prone to this as well. We want that quick fix, right? We want, give me the three steps to bounce back and I'll be better in 2 days' time, right? It doesn't quite work like that. But us blokes, we kind of want that quick fix, and we often, which is really troubling, and I've spoken to people like yourself and others in the field, that we leave it till crisis point, right? We leave it till the very last minute. And it seems to be that women are a little bit more aware to pick up on this earlier. They see those troubled seas maybe a little bit more in advance. So is there something for us blokes that maybe if we're feeling something, as you mentioned at the start, tune into it early so that we can avoid it later down the line?
Very much so. In my book, Back from the Brink, I interviewed Bob Borstein, who was head of public affairs for Google. He'd lived with bipolar for much of his life. And he said, you know, real success is learning how to be your own therapist. And what he meant by that is exactly what you're explaining, Pablo, that learn your own early warning signs and take action. But things that us blokes can do that really make a difference is, you know, make time for some exercise. You know, I've got a ritual in my week where every Sunday morning I meet up with a couple of blokes and we go for a bit of a slow jog around Manly and come back and have breakfast. And, you know, there's something really great about that. You have a chance to exercise together, but also to have a bit of a chat after the jog. And that's really very, very helpful. You know, really striving to, you know, share if you're not going well with someone else. And I know that can be feel a bit risky for some people, but you know, if you can, you can preface it by saying, "Look, I really like you to keep this confidential, but I trust you, and I just want to let you know that you know, I haven't been going so well recently. I'm a bit worried about, you know, my finances or my, you know, relationship or whatever." So be proactive about developing those relationships. Now, before I had my mental health breakdown, I wasn't that good with that. I was a bloke. I felt I could sort it all out myself. Mm-hmm. But after I had a really severe breakdown and recovery, I just knew that that was key to doing better and almost immunizing yourself from harmful stress and mental illness.
Yeah, well, I know you're married, and I'm fortunate to be married as well. And for listeners that are there out there that are married as well, it's funny because often we think we have to be this like stoic, strong man in the household, right? And what I've found, honestly, is that when I'm vulnerable and let my wife in and let, you know, share the things that are really troubling me and worrying me, you actually, instead of her seeing you as this really weak, pathetic person, the bond is just so much better.
Yeah, I'll share a secret with you, Pablo. Women love it. You know, they really do. If you, you know, talk about something you are concerned about, it's something that they're used to doing with their girlfriends, and they're very, I think, much happy with that sort of situation. And then the other thing that I've found is that even when I share my story with male friends, it gives them permission to share their story. And most people have a story, whether it's, you know, battling their own mental health themselves or trying to support a family member or a friend who may be struggling. And there's been some really great progress in, you know, in the mining sector, you know, about having positive discussions, talking about mental health to just reduce the stigma. And reducing the stigma is a very, very noble cause.
Now, completely switching gears, Adam Ross, he's the king of the nerds. If you want some recommendations about what to put on the screen when you sit back, relax on the couch, he's the man I turn to. And Adam, we'll start with Bad Sport, because on Netflix, we've seen quite a few of these sporting documentaries. What's it like?
This is a 6-episode documentary series, and it is, like, each week I'm coming at you with either a true crime or a sporting doco, and this is a true crime sporting doco. So it's kind of, you can get both your fixes at the same time. So this is about, like, fixing scandals, you know, and matchmaking and things like that. And honestly, it's really, really fascinating because you've got the principles of these scandals. A lot of them are historic, and you might kind of remember them from the tabloids back in the day. And, you know, and they're explored, and we get to get into the mindset of, you know, of what drives an athlete, you know, to betray their team. And it's pretty fascinating because, you know, there are always people on the margins of sport that are making money off athletes, huge amounts of money, sponsorships, deals, this and this. And, you know, and normally the trade-off is that, look, dude, you get to do what you want to do for fun. You know, like, you get paid to do that, so you don't get to make the big bucks. And so here and there, a few of these athletes look at all the money being made and they're like, I want my slice of the pie. So it's kind of fascinating watch them team up, you know, with a criminal, almost like gangster element, and incorporate that into sport. So yeah, so I thought this was quite engrossing, good documentary series.
Now the closer is the new Dave Chappelle special.
Now, this is, you know, the hottest ticket in town in terms of a talking point. And this is because Dave Chappelle, who has always been provocative comedian, is saying that this is kind of like his, you know, his final Netflix special, which according to internal metrics are the most watched specials of any comedian in Netflix history. So, you know, like, I mean, for, in terms of eyes, you know, on the prize, this is a very big deal for them as a company. But the content inside this is getting Dave in a huge amount of hot water. Mm. What I find personally fascinating about this special and about Dave's behavior, you know, I mean, love him or loathe him, and trust me, you only have to go online to see, you know, the reaction that he is provoking. He is trying to, in my estimation, as a lot of comedians do, he's trying to chew on very difficult things in a public space. So someone with, he is saying that he doesn't care that he's being cancelled, you know, in commas, but he does care because he's created an entire special trying to justify his position and his material, and especially about the trans community. And so, you know, and so obviously, you know, Dave himself is not trans. So people are saying, do you have any authority to be talking about these issues without this being your lived experience? But almost all comedians, you know, they have this huge vein of observational comedy, and this is how he's observing it. But he's also conflating it with, you know, civil rights struggles of African Americans. So there, you know, look, there are a million ideas going on in this. A lot of people have made their mind up that, you know, that they hate him and they hate this content and that it should be boycotted. I just firmly believe, and this is a difficult element, that you should lay your eyes on everything before you make a judgment of it. I do understand that for some people morally that's difficult because you don't want to be giving more viewership to him. So if you hate him, giving him another viewing makes him successful. So, but I think if you really want to assess what he's saying and what his intention is to watch the special yourself and make your mind up. I mean, and some of the gags in this, you know, are incredibly funny. Some are incredibly risque and some are incredibly bold and some are potentially highly offensive. So Dave's, you know, I mean, he's just swinging the baseball bat around basically in this. So it's up to you whether you want to go and check it out or not.
Now, 15 minutes of shame. I watched the trailer for this and I was hooked. It is going to be what I'm going to be sinking my teeth into over the weekend. What's it like?
Well, and look, you know, talking exactly like what we were about Chappelle just there, this is basically that, you know, a manifest into a documentary. It's just saying that the new online culture that we have is that if you play something the wrong way, you do the wrong thing, you will live in infamy forever. John Ronson, the novelist, wrote this incredibly good book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And that's probably my favorite book I've read in the last couple of years, because I'm fascinated with internet culture and I'm fascinated when someone missteps and I'm fascinated with how they try to like control it in terms of PR or to come back. And, you know, it's a big element of our online community at the moment. And so this documentary has got incredible talking heads, including John Ronson, unpacking a bunch of cases where someone did something, it was interpreted by the public to be wrong, and just, you know, the mob came after them. And it's like, it's terrifying. Like, I mean, vicariously, you go, man, I do not want to be this person. And, you know, we know this about internet culture, that it is stripped of nuance. You don't get an ability very often to explain yourself, you know, and accountability obviously is an incredibly important thing. And we're trying to push forward with that. But sometimes people have got the wrong guy. You know, sometimes you didn't, you know, something was spelt wrong. You know, like there's a case in this doco of a guy who was just twiddling his fingers on the side of the road. And I believe him because he's Hispanic, and someone misinterpreted that as him making a racist symbol with his fingers. They put it on Twitter and he lost his job. Like everyone came after him, and all he was doing was playing with his hand because he was bored on the freeway. But we live in a culture now where everything is under the microscope. And so watching this, you know, hour and a half, really entertaining doco that goes into that. This is my jam. This is pound for pound, probably my most favorite thing I've seen this whole year. But I'm just fascinated with this stuff. Can't get enough of it.
Adam, always good to chat. And it's always good to chat to you on the podcast. If you want to find out more about me, my life and behind the scenes, jump online at Triple M Karratha on Facebook. And of course, keep in touch with me at Pablo__Miller on Instagram and Twitter. Until the next podcast, have a good day.